Actually, been about 3.5 years since I've been able to be in a church setting like this, so it really is huge. I know you guys will understand that with COVID just happening and having to have things closed off. So to be able to sing together and worship God together is a real blessing. So thank you so much for letting me be here. I hope that gives a bit of a picture of where I live and the things that God has involved us in over the last few years. And I also just want to thank you so much for your support and your ongoing prayers. This is really, without you guys supporting us and encouraging us and generously giving to this, I couldn't get these opportunities, those initiation opportunities that I talk about in the video, that couldn't have happened. So thank you so, so much for keeping me there in Mozambique. And I hope you can hear me okay. If you need me to speak louder or softer, that's fine. So as you have just seen, over these last 3 years, there have been many opportunities to build relationships with my Yao friends and get to learn more of their culture and their language and share the hope and the love and the freedom that Jesus gives. So I have a Yao nurturer. She was heavily shown throughout that video. She teaches me language and culture, and she's been guiding me through the last 3 years as I navigate this Yao world. She has 4 living children, and she has another who died last year. One of the big reasons why I go to her house each day for language lessons is so that I can see the way that she and her family live. And it's a way of building relationship, not just with her, but with her whole community. So I've been challenged and I've been encouraged, and I'm very, very thankful for the insight into the life of my friend. It really is a blessing. So at the beginning of the year, I noticed that her second youngest child, who was a beautiful 4-year-old girl, she was no longer there. I was visiting each day and she wasn't coming up, and usually she'd sit on my lap and she'd help me learn a bit more Chiao as well. And so I asked my nurturer, and she simply explained that her brother and his wife, well, they only had one child, and he was a boy, and they haven't been able to have any other children. So she had sent her 4-year-old girl to go and live with them. They live in a village that's about 5 kilometres away, but because of the way that village life works, she hadn't actually been and gone and visited her sister, her daughter at all. And since I've been journeying with her since I found that out, she still hasn't seen her daughter. And for me, that completely blows my mind. But as I kept chatting with her and chatting to some of her family members and friends, I learned that it's actually quite common amongst families here to share out their children. Her love is so obvious, not just for her child, but for her broader family. Giving her brother this child means that his family get the opportunity to raise a healthy girl. She's going to be able to help them at their farm, and she's going to be eventually able to help around the house as well, carrying water. And she adds another dynamic to this household. Immediate family in Mozambique, it's not excluded to a mother and a father and a daughter or a son. It's the grandparents, it's the uncles, it's the aunties, it's all of the in-laws. My nurturer, she calls her cousin her brother, and I have no idea who her blood relatives are, because everybody's auntie or uncle there. So for the Yao, family is big. And it's broad and it's inclusive. It reminds me a bit of church. It gives identity. It shows me a picture of God's family, where we're no longer strangers or aliens, but we're fellow citizens of his kingdom. We belong, we have a place in God's family. Our earthly families, they can sometimes be a great reflection of that, but it is actually our place in God's family as His children that gives us true identity. So I see the beauty in the way that my nurturer's family lives, but I also recognise that it is broken, just as each of our families in the different ways are also broken. And so I look forward to that day when our Yao neighbours and ourselves, we know that place in the greater family that we can all belong to, one where death has lost its sting, where identity is never lost, and where love and grace rules. And I'm thankful that today here is this community, we can celebrate that, and we can be thankful that we belong to this greater family. And just like what was read, which I didn't know was going to be read from Revelation, but that idea of we are going to be standing with Yao men and women as well who are a part of this broader family. So some of our Yao friends are actually beginning to recognise Jesus as their saviour, and it's incredibly exciting. They're being transformed by His word. So recently we have been praying for a group of men who are in a village near us, and they've begun to show an interest in just learning who Jesus is. And so one of our teammates, he's been meeting up, because it's a group of men, it would be inappropriate for me to go, but we stay behind. There's a group of us who stay behind, and then he goes out to this group and he chats with them, and he shares stories of God with them. And one day he was sharing the creation account for the first time to these guys. And it was the first time that for many of them they were hearing this account. And at the end, one of the men, he stood up and he exclaimed to all of his friends, well, first of all, he asked this question, so women were also created in the image of God? And then he said, so they have value. We should stop beating our wives because God loves them. And so just in that moment, as he was listening to God's word, he had an encounter and was transformed by the power of God's word and had to share it with everybody else there. And so these are the sort of things we're getting to see as we share stories, such as in initiation and such as in these group settings. Are these people being transformed by the power of God, which is just amazing, and we're so, so thankful for that. I also just wanted to share a little bit in terms of my journey into cross-cultural mission, because I realise it can be easy to see somebody standing up here who's been in another country for a little while, and maybe think, oh, well, obviously this was her plan for her whole life. But for me, it really, really wasn't. And it actually came as quite a shock to me that God was putting this on my heart. So I had a full-time job, and I was in my 20s, and I'd finished my studies and everything was going really well for me. And then my friend, she invited me on a mission trip to go out to Mozambique to visit a family that we supported as a church. And I've shared with this church a few years ago, I struggled a lot with anxiety and taking steps of faith into that. But because she was my friend and she was really interested in mission, I decided to join her to encourage her into this place. And I did think it would be a cool way to see a new country, so I said yes. And before you knew it, there were 8 of us from Western Australia, and we were sitting in the middle of this village, and we were, you know, we were eating the local food and swatting all of the mosquitoes away. And it was actually during this trip, as I was watching the local Yao lady serving us some food, that I sensed that God was inviting me to be a part of what He is doing amongst the Yao. And of course, for me, in my human way, I responded to this leading in a way where I could still have control, where I was still holding on to something. So So I decided that I would volunteer for a... So I should say I sensed very strongly that God was... I sensed that God was leading me into this with everything. And so I responded by saying, yes, but. And so I decided to volunteer for a couple of months. And this way I felt I could have one foot there and also one foot in my comfort, where I have my friends and my family back in Perth, where I have my job, where I have my security. And I figured that that would be fine. And as I was there, and a few months ended up turning into a year, a story that God really gave me during that time was from Joshua. And it's that story where the Israelites are entering the promised land. So they've just spent decades wandering around the desert. They were led by Moses, and now they're camped on the other side of where God's leading them. Moses had died, Joshua is their new leader, and what stands between them is this river. So just across the river lay their promised land. Everything they'd been looking forward to for a generation. There was land there was security there was an end to that wandering. And all that God was calling them to was just there. And God gives, in that time, specific instructions to the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And in Joshua 3, we read that as the priests touched their feet, just touched their feet into the water, the river stops running and all of the Israelites are able to pass on dry ground. And so as I kept reading that passage, it became pretty clear to me that God was leading me to take my feet off the ground that I knew and to step into that river, to follow him into the unknown. And he brought others into my life to challenge me to consider God's specific call to Mozambique. And it took time, but eventually, by God's grace, I was able to put both of those feet into the water, into that river, trusting God that he would make a way, just like he did with the Israelites. And he has, and he continues to. It doesn't make it any easier or any less challenging, but I have the confidence that God is leading the way. And his reminder to Joshua and Moses is my reminder now. And I would encourage you that this is a promise that God has given you as well, for wherever he is leading you in step to step out in faith into. He told Joshua to be strong and courageous. And he told Moses, do not be terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. So I recognise that our specific callings, it may change depending what season we're in. But God's, that bigger calling that God has called us into the body of Christ, the one where we're going to be standing alongside Yao men and women, that we have that. We already have that calling over our lives. And God will give us what we need to step out in faith and trust him where he leads. So I just really want to thank you all for your partnership with me and with the team in Mozambique. We work together as the body of Christ, so without you, we wouldn't be getting opportunities that we have been getting that you've been hearing about today. So, yeah, I'd just really like to thank you. Cool.